Last Lord's Day, we considered, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, a statement that is routinely disinvested of all authority by those who apply it to the grieving of human loss, something which we saw it is not. It's blessed are those who mourn the reality of sin in their lives. It's a radical thought. We're living in a world where there isn't even a recognition of sin, let alone mourning for sin. You know, how often will you hear tomorrow in the news that our nation is mired in the filth and the disgusting behavior and thoughts of men and women? That the rebellion of God is constant. That we should be mourning our sin. That's not something that we will hear. That's not something that we will even be presented with. And if you were to stand up and pronounce that or declare that on our Parliament Hill, they would say, away with you, you stupid fool. And yet Christ, the King of all earth, the Lord of lords, the Mediator King, says, blessed, blessed are those who mourn their sin. That's completely at odds with everything that our nation would teach us today. This morning we come then to this third statement, and I want to look at meekness under two headings. First, I want to look at meekness, what it's not. Meekness is not a personality trait, nor an incorrect approach to submissiveness. Meekness is not a personality trait, nor an incorrect approach to submissiveness. Secondly, meekness is a grace-endued attitude of the heart towards God and man. Meekness is a grace-endued attitude of the heart towards God and man. This evening I'm going to be looking at the evidence or the manifestation of meekness in our lives and then the reward for meekness. And I remind you again that what we're considering here is a statement from the lips of Jesus, the eternal judge, concerning what we will be blessed for doing. Meekness is not a personality trait, nor an incorrect approach to submissiveness. Meekness is not about being nice. Meekness does not refer to weak, congenial attitudes. And it's certainly not an incorrect approach to submissiveness. Meekness is not personal niceness. There are people who are just nice. They're just nice people. They're gentle. They're friendly. They're affable. They're always agreeable. They're pleasant. They're kind. They tend to be easygoing. Invariably, because of all that, they're good company. Who doesn't want to be in the presence of someone who's always friendly, always affable, always laughing at your jokes, always agreeing with you? You're never caught unawares with them. You never find yourself thinking, well, I wonder what they're really thinking. They just take you as you are. They make no demands on the friendship. They seem to be bothered about very little. They share your joys. They can somehow empathize with your hurts. Jesus isn't speaking about that type of person who has received that particular type of a personality. Don't forget, though, that even the most nice person, when you touch them in concerns of their sin, then they become a different entity. Jesus isn't speaking something here in relation to genetics. He's talking about something that is derived from grace and grace alone. Meekness is not referring here to someone who is weak and congenial. You can be a nice person and still have a strong personality. But there are people who are just weak. They're timid. They're people who will always avoid any confrontation whatsoever. If you were being harsh, you would say they're spineless. Ask the question about something, even something that they take really, they believe in a lot, they'll always avoid it. They'll always try and make sure that what they say in response doesn't offend the other person. There are Christians like that. Christians who, if confronted by an unbeliever, even in the most gentlest of ways, even in the most non-threatening of ways, will respond in such a spineless way. They'll not hold on to the ways of God and Christ. It's not that they make an excuse for their faith. It's just, well, like, why do you go to church? What an opportunity. What an opportunity. Well, I go to church because that's what I was brought up to do. Jesus isn't talking about that type of weakness, congeniality. He's not talking either about the incorrect approach to submissiveness. God does command us to be humble and submissive. We are to be submissive to those who rule over us in matters pertaining to the laws of the land, providing those laws do not contravene the laws of which God requires us to obey. Going to stay silent on that one. I'm going to be weak and congenial. We are to submit to those whom Christ has appointed over us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. There's a responsibility to submit to those who have responsibility to lead in the church, providing, of course, that they lead in a manner that is consistent with the ways of God. Wives are to submit to their husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Colossians 3:18. Very clear that wives are to submit to their husbands as Christ submits to the Lord. In all these aspects of submission, they are to accept the authority of Christ's position, but they are not to be incorrectly applied. Jesus, when he's talking about meekness here, is not talking about an inappropriate or an incorrect submissiveness. So it's not just being nice naturally, it's not just being congenial, nor is it being submissive in an incorrect way. So what is Jesus saying when he talks about meekness? And it's really important that we understand it, because Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we sang together there in Psalm 37a in the verse 11, as for the humble or meek ones, the land they will possess, and there they will savor the delights of blessed, perfect blessedness. So it's real. It's real. This is not Christian hypothesis. This is not just an idea. This is just not you learning the lesson for the day. This is you receiving the truth of Christ from his word to your hearts as he spoke it on the Sermon on the Mount on that day, or on the Mount at that time. What does Jesus mean when he uses the word meek? Well, meekness is a grace-endued attitude of the heart, first to God and then to man. Grace is what gives life to meekness. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul outlines the fruit of the Spirit, that which is produced in our lives because of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Greek word translated gentleness there is the word which is the exact opposite of the word in Greek for pride. So the word that's used to, that Paul uses to describe gentleness in the Greek original is the opposite of the word pride. And what's the opposite of pride? The opposite of pride is lowly-heartedness. What is lowly-heartedness? It is meekness. And so the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is meekness. It's an attitude that is derived in our hearts because of the work of God. The non-believer, just as the non-believer does not understand what true biblical mourning is for their sin, the non-believer does not understand what this meekness is. No matter how nice the unbeliever is, no matter how congenial the unbeliever is, and believe you me, there are some nice unbelievers, there are some congenial unbelievers, there are some really decent people out there, but they do not understand this work that Jesus, this word that Jesus is speaking of here as meekness. This word meekness arises out of, flows from the heart of God, and it applies to our souls as the Spirit of God works in our hearts and our minds. It cannot be replicated, nor can it be mimicked. Only those who are in Christ Jesus will be blessed because of their meekness and will be rewarded by the inheritance of the earth. John Brown, the 18th century Scottish theologian, writes of meekness, "All enlightened conviction of the infinite greatness and excellence, the sovereignty and wisdom and holiness and righteousness and condescension and kindness of God and of our own insignificance as creatures and demerit as sinners lies at the foundation of that meekness which forms an essential part of the character of a genuine Christian. Everything that we know about God, everything we know about ourselves as sinners, that leads to us being meek, which is essential to our Christian character, flows from the hand of God." He goes on elsewhere in his writings, Brown does, "Meekness, including a ready subjection of soul to God's authority and His word, and cheerful resignation to His providence, an inward calmness under provocation, and readiness to forgive the injuries of man," so he goes on. And in that, we have the account of what biblical meekness is. Biblical meekness is subjection to the will and sovereignty of God for the good and the blessing of others. Biblical meekness understands who God is. Biblical meekness acknowledges, understands, and accepts God as sovereign over all things, people, actions, and events. It recognizes as God's right to do to us what He will. Biblical meekness takes the line in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And biblical meekness owns that. It owns that line. It doesn't just pray that line. It takes that line without hesitation or equivocation and says, "I am going to live my life in this line. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Biblical meekness accepts because it acknowledges and understands the perfection of God and His ways when things are good and when things are bad. Look at the life of Job. Read Job chapter 1 if you want to know what biblical meekness is about. It says that Job was a man who feared God and shunned evil. Yet in one catastrophic day in his life, God allowed Satan to take everything from Job. Satan came to God and said, "I want to have dealings with Job." And God said to Satan, "You can have Job. You can have Job. Now, this is why biblical meekness is not human niceness. This is why biblical meekness is not congeniality. This is why biblical meekness is a submission to the authority of God. In Job chapter 1, we read that Job had 7,000 sheep. And those sheep were consumed by fire, as were their shepherds, with the exception of one. On the same day when Job heard the news of the 7,000 sheep being slaughtered, another man comes to his door and tells him that the 1,000 oxen that he owns has been raided by the Sabaeans, along with their herdsman. Only one escapes and comes to Job to tell him of that case. As the man who is telling Job of that situation, another man comes to the door and tells Job that his 3,000 camels have been raided by the Chaldeans and their keepers have been killed. And as news of that is sinking in, the 7,000 sheep, the 3,000 camels, there was 500 donkeys as well. As well as that, we read that there are 1,000 oxen. What happens is that news comes to Job that his 7 sons and 3 daughters, who are all gathered at his eldest son's home for a meal, have been ripped from the face of the earth with a tornado. The house has collapsed in among them. Everything in Job's life has been taken from him by the hand of God, allowing Satan to destroy them. And how does Job respond? He tears his clothes. He shaves his head. He falls on the ground. And he pours forth his vengeance and anger against God. Somebody should be standing up and say, "You've got that wrong. That's not what he did." He fell on his knees and he worshipped God. He says, "Naked I come in from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How many times have you heard that at a funeral? But this man was not at his funeral. This man was speaking of the loss of everything he had. Every beast, every servant but 3 who survived to come and tell him, and his entire family. Every child. Every child. In one single day. You leave here. You go home. Your house is on fire. You get an email to say you've lost your job. You're sitting and your wife tells you you need time on your own. She's going to go to a friend's house with the children, just to give you an hour or two. And you get a phone call half an hour later to say the car has crashed. And they're all dead. And you're sitting there. The home doesn't matter really anymore. The job. But your wife and family. Are you going to get down on your knees and say, "I worship you"? Are you going to get down on your knees and say, "Naked I come into the world. Naked I leave. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord." In Job chapter 2, Satan comes back to God and says, "Can I have another go at him?" And he attacks him physically. He puts sores all over his body. Job is in internal pain. He is suffering incredibly. It's unspeakable what he's going through in terms of this physical pain. It says he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he was in ashes. He's scraping his body physically with a piece of pottery to try and scrape off that which is covering him. And it's not just a wee sort of gentle. He is running this over his body deep into every physical part that he can get to. His wife, my analogy of the situation of you, his wife had not been killed. His wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." As his wife says to him, it would be better for you just to die. The suffering you're in, it would just be better for you to die. This man says to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive God from God, and shall we not receive evil? We take the good from God, but we will not take the evil." This is biblical meekness. Biblical meekness is humbling ourselves before God and accepting good or bad that sovereign rules by his name and by his authority, and we will submit to that sovereignty. And if I had time this morning, I could go through Abraham, I could go through Moses, I could go through David, I could go through many Old Testament saints, I could go through Stephen, I could go through the New Testament church, I could go through the martyrs of old in the land of Scotland, and many of them submitted themselves to the will of the Father revealed in the Word concerning the mediatorial kingship of Christ. And I could give you account after account of how Christianity is not about just coming to the place of worship and just taking the good out of what God gives us, but biblical meekness is not personal niceness, it is not personal congeniality, it is not inappropriate or incorrect submission. That biblical meekness is taking the Word of God and owning that Word and living our lives subject to the rule of God, whatever befalls us, and that whatever means whatever, without exception or exclusion. You see, sometimes some of us give up too easily. And of course, the supreme testimony to meekness is seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote this last week, it was on Friday, in that passage in which Luke chapter 10, in which Jesus speaks about the good news and how he's ecstatic about the way that God hides from some and gives to others. In the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew adds, which Luke doesn't say, that Jesus goes on to extend an invitation to come, and he says to the people, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek or gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why are we to come to Jesus? Because he is meek and is lowly. Everything about Jesus was meek and lowly, and yet you read, don't you, how Jesus cast out those who were trading in the temple. How he spoke very directly and very harshly to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How Jesus did not suffer fools gladly. Remember what he said to Peter when Peter said to him, "Oh, you're not going to die. We're going to protect you." What did Jesus say? "Get you behind me, Satan. I am not going to listen to your words spoken through the lips of Peter." And so Jesus was not one who would stand back and just allow people to do what they wanted. He was one who certainly would challenge them. But Jesus speaks of himself as meek and lowly. And do you know what? The only attribute that Jesus calls upon himself, The only attribute that Jesus draws attention to himself on, and many attributes he had to call attention to himself on. The only one he calls attention to, what is this one? His meekness. Do you know of any other attribute that Jesus speaks of? Do you know of any? Do you know anywhere where Jesus says, I am this, and talks about his personal character? The only thing that Jesus speaks about in terms of his personal being is his meekness. He acknowledges, understands, and without exception, wholeheartedly accepts the will of the Father. You know the passage in Philippians chapter 2, although he was in very nature God, he did not consider God as something to be grasped, equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, he made himself nothing by taking upon himself the form of human likeness, the nature of a servant. The Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who had every reason to stay in the glory, especially knowing what was awaiting him on earth. Why did he let go of heaven? Why did he come to the earth? Why did he come to a place where people would rebel against him, revile him, hate him, despise him in his human form? It makes no sense. Think about it. Why would Jesus leave heaven to come to the earth? Why would he do that? He does it because of his meekness. Does it because of his meekness. He accepted, understanding, and wholeheartedly humbles himself to the will of the Father. Throughout his entire life, Jesus came to the Father and submitted himself to the will of the Father. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. In Gethsemane, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What are these statements? These statements are Jesus saying, I will submit myself to you. And so when Jesus speaks of meekness, he's speaking of submitting to the will of the Father. He's not speaking about niceness. He's not speaking about congeniality. He's not speaking about incorrect submissiveness. He's speaking about a willingness to receive the Word of God, and he's speaking about a willingness to do the will of God. And that's the only basis on which we can be meek. We can only be meek if we will take the words of God and allow them to penetrate into our hearts. As James says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with weakness the misplanted word, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. How do we become meek? How do we own this testimony of this statement of Jesus, blessed are the meek? How do we become meek is if we will receive the word of God. We cannot become meek by being nice. We cannot become meek by being just congenial to people. We need to become meek by accepting the Word of God into our souls and owning that Word and living that Word, thinking about that Word, studying that Word and delighting in that Word and living that Word. You cannot be meek without having the work of the Spirit in your life. And you cannot be meek if the Spirit of God is not going to work in the Word, because you're not implanting that word into your life. You cannot be meek if you will not take the word and own the word and have that word dwell in you richly, as Jesus would say, that the Spirit of God would come and he would work through that word, and so that word would bring you into a mentality of humility of heart and lowliness of soul, where you will say to God day and daily, I will accept what you have for me. Surely the church is crying out for biblical meekness. We have sold out on personal friendliness. There's nothing wrong with being friendly. I don't want this congregation to be known as a friendly congregation. I want this congregation to be known by the grace of God and the work of the Spirit as a meek congregation. I want you as the people of God, and I want myself to have a love for each other that derives out of that love for God. And that willingness to receive the Word of God, implanted in our souls, and to follow the example of Jesus. As Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you, learn, for I am meek and lowly of heart." The one attribute that Jesus highlighted in his life, the one thing that Jesus tells us to learn from him. If you had the opportunity to learn anything from Jesus, if you could say to Jesus, Jesus would say to you, "There's anything you want, I will give to you." Well, it would be great if we could perform miracles, we could heal the sick. It would be great if we could teach with authority. It would be great if people were amazed and came to hear us talk about the things of God. But do you know what Jesus wants us to learn? Do you know what Jesus wants us to own? Do you know what Jesus wants us to dwell in? Meekness. He says to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn, for I am meek and lowly of heart." Take my yoke and learn what? Learn meekness. What? Learn submission to the Father in all his providential dealings. Learn what? Learn to come to God and accept the ways of God. Learn to come and obey the ways of God. And learn to do that not when things are good and well, but to learn to do that when things are terrible. When you're losing the 7,000 sheep. When the 500 donkeys are gone. When the 1,000 oxen are taken. When the 3,000 camels are gone. When your family is wiped out. And I'm nervous and I'm timorous about saying this. For who of us can do it? And yet, in the strength of Christ, he calls us to take that yoke and learn. Be trained to submit. In Psalm 37, we sang about not being afraid of the godless and the wickedness of man. They parade their wealth. They want to tell us how to live our lives. They want to tell us that we're insignificant, little nobodies. Well, they're telling the truth. But there's coming a day when we will inherit the earth, as we shall see tonight. But that inheritance will come to us by the work of the Spirit. As we understand, acknowledge, and accept that we must submit to God and his word and his ways without exception. Following as Jesus did through continual praying and crying out, "Father, if there is some other way, but if there's not," as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace said, "If you throw us in, God may save us. But if he does not, then you will know that there's a God in heaven today." Now, is that not radical? The world says to us, "Oh, you're nice people. You're friendly people." No, we are meek people. We submit to the things of God. And when the world is broken by disaster, when the world is on its knees in confusion, when a man loses everything he has and takes to alcohol or drugs or abuse, when a man takes his life or his woman takes her life because their life is at an end and the world doesn't know how to behave. The world doesn't know how to deal with difficulty. The world doesn't know how to deal with disaster. We weak, nice, congenial Christians, we bend the knee to God and we say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord. Naked I come into the world and naked I leave. And whatever He does to me, I will worship Him." Now that's distinctly different from how the world views the ways and its life. May God bless to us His Word.